Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace.
When asked, what is the greatest of the commandments? Jesus responded in Mark 12, 30 and 31. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself.
There is no commandment greater than these. Grace was started with this focus. And so it is to be a place to love God, love people, serve in community. This is our mission. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the time today to celebrate you, to worship you, to gather together one another, to be strengthened by you, to know our purposes here while we await our time to be with you in heaven. And so, Lord, may you bless this time as we gather as a family, and may you inspire the words of your word to encourage us to understand our place in the great plan that you have. And we'll praise you now for it in Christ's name. Amen. Our mission statement is fueled by the greatest commandment, but also by the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hopefully you realize that, and to accomplish that, we need each other to do it. Last week began to explore what grace could mean. The letter G, meaning grow. Grow closer to God each day. In Luke 9:23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It is that daily relationship with God that he desires with us. I've been talking to him a lot the last few days for sure, thanking him that today's weather was not yesterday, and trying to move a house, thanking him and praising him for all the hands that came out to make the labor light. Thanking him that we had the opportunity to learn that our fire alarm works in our house as the smoke from the burgers just set it right off. That was okay. That was fun too. You know, it's that enjoyable time, the small things that we think are mundane and common, but they're extraordinary when you put Christ at the center of them. Seeing things come in community, come together because he's in the midst of it. And praise him because, you know, you couldn't do it by yourself. We're not called to be isolated, but growing together in him and with others. R could stand for realize. Realize it's not a marathon. I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Life is too quick. Slow down a little bit sometimes. Take the time to breathe. Take the time to contemplate. God says, be still and know that I'm God. Hebrews 12:1 though says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see the word that comes together, us realizing we can come along and encourage each other along this race as well, because it lasts our entire lifetime. It's a struggle, and we need people alongside of us. Which leads into 3, associate. Associate with people in church and the community. We are never called to isolate. That was the real knock on the Jews. They had the greatest truth of all, of who the true God is, and they chose to isolate themselves in the community rather than infiltrate the community. They took the laws as a standard to separate themselves rather than an opportunity to teach and to show them who God is. Read a story about a pastor came to a church, new pastor, and there was one member of this church that didn't like change, and so he decided not to come to church. And week after week, he would sit home alone. So this new pastor decided to pay a call and a visit. And the man graciously opened the door and let him inside. And they were sitting by the fireplace, two chairs, and not speaking, not talking. And the pastor reached in with a set of tongs, and he took out one of the glowing embers, and he set it onto the marble that was there, you know, by the fireplace. And it was bright red. And after a little while, it began to get dimmer and dimmer until it turned black. Without saying a word, he took the tongs again. He placed that ember back into the fire and began to glow and get bright. And the man picked up on what the pastor is doing and said, I'll see you next week. You see, being out of the fire, being out of the gathering of the body of Christ, we can grow cold. Because the world is cold. We need each other to associate with so that we can keep on fire for what God has to do and wants to do in our lives. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised, meaning Christ, is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing close. You know, I've often encouraged people that you say to people when they have been gone for a few years, where you been, say, good to see you. You know, because where you've been doesn't matter. Now, I've been guilty in my own family to say, where you been? You know, but it's out of a heart of missing them. And I've got to learn to practice myself because I can't imagine not being here on Sunday. Not because I'm the pastor, but because I love to be with the body of Christ. That's my heart. I'm encouraged and inspired by being together. And so that was a philosophy of mine, a practice of mine, long before being in ministry. We need each other. Let's pick up on our next letter. C could stand for carry. Carry the testimony that God has given you. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Which really could say, no one can boast. You know, your faith was given to you by God. God drawed you in. He pulled you into himself to reveal himself that you had no choice but to love him. God uses the body of Christ to infiltrate into a dark world that they may see him, be drawn to him, that he could change their lives forever. You have a testimony. And that testimony is unique to you. You can't share my testimony and have it be effective. One, you're probably not on enough medication. And two, you didn't live it. But God's given you one that is unique to yourself, that is, and it's easy to give because all you do is tell the truth. You share what you were, who you were, how God changed you, and then moving forward. That's the testimony. Well, I can't really remember when I became a Christian. I've always gone to church. Not the good answer. Because there's a time in your life that God transformed you, God changed you. That's the testimony. And if you don't have that, you better think about that long and hard. Because we don't receive salvation through inheritance. It's not left in someone's will, but they might leave a legacy. When did God change you? That's your testimony. To who you are today. What we studied last year in 1 Peter 3:15 and 16, but sanctify means set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. This year, Josh and I went to the Genesee County Fair. Now, it's obvious that I have not been to the Genesee County Fair in decades because I drove right past it. Now, for you, anyone been to the Genesee County Fair? Raise your hand, a few of you. Okay. It's okay. It's not shameful to admit that. Anyway, I went 475 up to 75 up to, like, the Clio Road exit. and then drove a long way east to get to the fair, way out there past Mount Morris. And I know, I remember seeing it on the Huckleberry Railroad train something or other going through. Anyway, I drove right by it, had to turn around, which you can't do very easily, and went inside. And we went to the races where they have really loud cars and they bump each other. The Derby, thank you. The Derby. And we had a great time. But as we're walking out, this tent was there, and it says, "Can you answer the questions millions can't?" I might. No one's around. I can't get too embarrassed. And you looked into this little viewer, you know, and these guys are, and they're not going, they're not doing that. So I was feeling pretty good. It says, "If you were to die today, do you know that you go to heaven?" Bing! Yeah, and they say, "Why?" I said, "Jesus Christ. Put my faith and trust in him." You know, this church would have this thing there, you know, that gets you to ask that question. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? You can say yes, but do you know why? You, as a believer in Jesus Christ, could very simply answer that question. And if you don't know, come talk to me. Because I'm not going to give it to you now. You should be able to simply answer that question so that you have no doubt. A believer in Jesus Christ should never say, "Well, I hope so." There's a hope that's within us that is a guaranteed, sure thing. Our going to heaven is not a hopeful. It's set in Jesus Christ. We are to be ready always at any time to give our testimony in Jesus Christ. I had the great honor of doing a funeral in 2009 for my friend Marty Frenstead. Marty's been a big help to this church. He bought the trailer that we used for a few years there, lugging our church in a box back and forth between here and my home in the Van Wy Elementary. He is tithed to this church, even though he lives on the other side of the street. He believes in the ministry that we're doing. And when his father died, he asked me if I would do the funeral. I said, I'd be honored to. I had no idea what an honor that was. Let me tell you a little bit. Lawrence Frenstead, during World War II, served in the United States Army under Patton's 3rd Army, the 2nd Armored Cavalry Unit. That is significant. He was in 6 major battles, including Normandy, the Battle of the Bulge, Northern France, Rhineland, Andrians, and Central Europe. Lawrence was also awarded the Silver Star and a Bronze Star during his time in the Army and was involved in the rescue of the Lipizzan horses from hostile Czechoslovakia. Disney made a film about that, about these beautiful stallions, these white horses that were going to be destroyed. And the Army infiltrated in. He was a part of that and rescued these horses. I was humbled to be able to give the service for this large gathering of this man who is very simple. He's very, when you met him, you wouldn't think anything of him. He was a grumpy old guy. But he lent equipment. We did the building stuff in Midland at our church there. You'd never know that he never honored himself, but he did help and honor others. And the 2nd Armored Cavalry had this logo, Toujours Prêt. In fact, his son, when he created this company that works on bridges and things, that's a Toujours Prêt is his logo, his symbol for that. And it means always ready. This unit in the Army still exists today. Always ready. People in God's Army, we have to be always ready. Always ready to love, to encourage, to stand by, to defend, to go forward. This is an exciting place for us to be. And God calls us to carry that testimony of faith out into the world that he may make a difference through you and bring light into darkness. You never know when God is going to use you, but you should anticipate that he will use you. He never asks you to testify in things that you don't know, but he will give you an opportunity to share the things that you do. I was talking with someone the other day. In fact, he was taking measurements for a countertop at the house, and he also serves up at Calvary Baptist as the unofficial teen or youth junior high ministry up there. And we were talking about that he was just available to do that. He was available to go in there and to work with the teens. That's cool. When you just make yourself available, what God will do. And to share that. If you want to see your role simple, let's turn to 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 13. If you grab one of those chair Bibles and turn to page 187. And see what John has to say. 1 John 5, verses 10 through 13. Says this. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself, meaning yourself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, made God a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. That is the simplicity of our faith. You're a saint or an ain't. You have him or you don't have him. You have him and you have eternal life with him. You don't have him and you have eternal darkness forever, separation from God. This is the most crucial question to ask and answer and to know with certainty. Don't be iffy about that. Don't be vanilla. Be chocolate mousse. That's the first thought that came to my head. Matthew 5, I know, I just shared that with you because I did. Matthew 5:14 is this, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's why in battles they go to the highest point, because that's the easiest to defend and you can come against your enemy. God places his light on a hill so that everyone would see it. And no, there are four ways in which substances can react to light, are being light. Some are transparent. The light passes right through them. Some are translucent. They scatter the light like translucent glass. Some are opaque. They bar the light so you can't see. But some are like mirrors and they reflect the light. We are called to reflect the light. I know when James lead worship, his desire is not to draw anything to himself, but to reflect God, that we're drawn into his presence. We ought to be like mirrors reflecting Christ. Lastly, E. E could stand for evaluate. Evaluate progress through God's eyes, not yours. In Isaiah 55:8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. That may seem like we're contrary to God, but I think what it means is, I've got so much more for you. I have so much better for you. I have so much greater love for you and peace for you and growth in you that I can do. Take my thoughts, take my ways, and see all that I can do in you and through you for my glory. Our commission is to go into all the world and make disciples. That's every one of us. That's not a pastoral duty. That is as a believer in Christ. And it's not a numbers focus because it's open-ended while we are still here. Go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey. Why? So that they can go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them. Why? So that it's circular in its approach for all of us. Disciple-making is deepening the relationship believers have with Christ. The problem is a lot of times people come to Christ and no one disciples them. They don't come alongside to encourage them, to teach them. They miss that last part of the Great Commission. We've been given our orders. Can we accomplish it? Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing. That's the message. And hearing by the word of Christ, that's the means of which it happens. We've got to make God's word the focal point of our testimony as well. Philemon 1:6 says, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing, meaning ethical and divine, things of this earth and things of heaven, which is in you for Christ's sake. To have understanding, you must be willing to live it out, though. You must be willing. I love that in that little clip of the movie, nothing great happens if you hold back. The problem is we hold back. And God desires to open the floodgates and to do so much more. It's God in you, not you alone. You are the manager, the steward, not the owner, putting God first. It's not something you turn on and off and put on and off like a coat and hang it in the closet to forget. It's to be sincere, the most sincerest part of your life. But never let it be said that the Christian life is easy. It is not easy. James 1:2 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." And what are we running? A marathon, right? You need endurance for a marathon. "And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Why? Because your focus is in on Christ. Evaluate through his eyes. You may be the greatest failure in the world in man's eyes, but you're just going to be in the honor rolls in the kingdom of heaven. We have to be careful. When you make a stand for Christ, we're to expect resistance. But we're never given permission to back away from the commission given to us, even if it means death. That is why the testimony of the apostles is so powerful. In the face of death, they could have renounced Christ and lived. But you can't deny the truth. I ended last week's message with this. The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for those who don't know Christ. That's why it's got to be outward focused, not inward. It's not the holy huddle. You know, it's let's get out there and grab those goats that need to become sheep. Grace. Place to love God, love people, serve in community. It's simple, but when acted out, it is so powerful as well. That means all kinds of people. Don't evaluate people by your eyes. Man, we have our prejudice. I got to tell you a quick story. We're driving back. We loaded. My naive thinking is we're going to load one 26-foot truck and be done with it. Way enough room. Kidding me. Says it'll have, you can, that's enough for a four-bedroom house. I want to see that four-bedroom house, by the way, because we didn't have four bedrooms, but it way filled the truck. And bless all of you that had trucks and trailers and vans and SUVs and hands, Julie and Matt and Jeannie and Roy and Dave. I'm going to miss people. But I'm going to it's just so amazing. We got all done, and it's about, 5:40, and had to have the truck back by 6. I'm in this big empty truck, and I'm good at driving truck, too. Feel like powerful up there. Anyhow, I'm behind the on Miller Road, turning right on Hammerberg Road to get back to the freeway to go. And the sign says, "No right turn, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Underneath it, school days only." And there's this car. It's sitting there and sitting there. And I'm thinking, I'm this big truck. Doop. Sitting there. No traffic. Doot. All of a sudden, a hand comes out of the passenger window, pointing to the sign. Okay. We then turn, and as it would have it, we both get the light on Hammerberg Road by the freeway. They're in one lane. I pull up. I said, "I am very sorry. I just thought, you know, you didn't know it was on school days only." Passenger wasn't very pleased. Looked at me like I thought some glorious words were going to be coming out and some praying at one point. And then she just goes, "It's green. It means go." Place to love God, love people, serve in community. Sometimes God will put that right in your face, you know, and you just got to swallow. I really felt bad for that. I shouldn't have done the toot, you know. It is not easy to do, people. It's not a mission statement to have because it's easy. But it's something that we need to constantly be humbled at and live up to. Remember me talking about Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the totality of who we are. Every moment with God. That could have been a praying moment for me. God, do I really want to toot this horn? And sometimes we do what God says we shouldn't do. Talked about golf and Josh and junior golf, you know, and my objective with him was not to be a next Tiger Woods, but just have an activity. And at his scoring, you know, I didn't ask, you know, how come you got such a high score? The main question was, did you have fun? Did you do your best? Yeah, that's it. God just wants you to do your best. He wants you to keep that relationship with him all the time, day in and day out. Are you doing your best? At a place to love God, love people, serve in community, prayerfully now and for years to come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love that you have for us. We know that coming and accepting your Son does not give us a free pass to the easy street, but Father, now we have the torment, not so much the torment, but the challenges of this world that desires not to follow you. But we have a heart to do that, to follow you in all things. May you speak to our heart. May we live this mission out in the world that we may draw people to Christ because of it. And Father, when we begin to err on the side of self, would you gently give us a nudge so that we can refocus on you and not the things that are distracting us. May we encourage others in and out of the body to know you, that they too may come to love you as well. May our love be evident inside and out. And we ask this, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share His peace, is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Grace alone.
Grace alone, which God supplies. Strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, give us the strength, your strength, to endure all that we need this week. And all God's people said, amen. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us. And we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.